So I said, I just need to buy one commercial real estate asset a year that nets me 50K a year for 10 years straight. And I'm in year 7 of that plan. Last year, I think I did a little over 312,000 in passive income just from the commercial assets.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
All right, Maddie A, and the A is for appreciable asset allocation. What is up, my brother from another mother?
My man, how we doing? We're back at it.
Back at it again. Look who it is. Boys are back in town. What's going on, bud?
Man, I'm wishing I was back in town so we could go back to the mothership and have some fun watching Shane Gillis and Joe Rogan and Tony. That was quite the treat. But the year's kicking off great, brother. I'm very excited for a lot of the projects and everything I'm working on. Very optimistic about the opportunities that I'm seeing out there and how we're navigating those. And after selling all my hotels last year, it was an interesting season of having a lot of financial abundance, but feeling a little lost in terms of building something up and being busy and obsessed with it all day, every day, 24/7, 365, to having all of this time freedom on my hands. And that was an interesting journey to sort through, but we are clear, we are focused, we've got a mission that the whole team is behind, and we're excited.
Dude, let's hit on this for a second. We'll go into your back, like super brief elevator pitch backstory here briefly in a second. But first, let's hit on that because I think it's really interesting to punctuate that point that this cycle does not end. It continues. You just add commas and zeros to the back end of it. So you work really hard on something, then you accomplish it, and then you go back to a period of, ooh, okay, now what? All the people that I interview that are selling companies or selling the real estate. Like when I sold my real estate, I was just sitting there and I was like, so what do I do with this now? And it's getting more anxious. So walk me through that, man. Walk us through like the selling process. Now you're sitting on a bunch of cash, a bunch of free time. You're at the mountaintop. Walk us through how this feels because it doesn't feel how most people think it feels.
Yeah, it's hard to explain until you go through it yourself, but
yeah,
it was very odd to, I felt more lost having more money than I've ever had in my entire life than I did when I was broke. It was really weird. And what I learned about that, at least what I learned about myself during that process is I am a mission-driven person. And based on what my mission is, I obsess over my missions. I want to do them to the best of my ability. I want to serve at the highest level. I want to create the most opportunity. I want to operate in the most abundance. And I do well when I am tasked with grinding and working hard at something I'm obsessed with achieving and unlocking an outcome to. And whether that's with health, whether that's with business, whether that's in a relationship, I just learned that I constantly need a goalpost to be kicking at. And when I don't, I'm just floating in the wind and I'm a little bit lost and I'm unweaponized. And when I think about being weaponized, that's being weaponized in all areas of your life and being locked in. But the underlying kind of root of all of that is I got to have a mission and something that I'm working towards. Last year was a very interesting year from having all kinds of cash, all kinds of ability to travel and having time freedom. And yet there was that big part of my DNA that was missing. And that was having something to wake up and be obsessed about every single day. So now that I've got that with the Wise Investor Collective and a lot of the different stuff that I'm working on there, I think it's just a good reminder that, like you said, there's so many different seasons and chapters in life, and some will be punctuated with financial success. Some will be punctuated with spiritual success. Some will be punctuated with physical growth and optimization. But at the end of the day, if the book is still open and you're still alive with a pen in your hand, you got to keep writing. And for me, I'm somebody that doesn't want to rewrite the same chapter over and over again for however many chapters of life I'm going to lead and live. I want it to be something exciting, something that's fulfilling, and obviously something that I think is inspiring, not only to me, but to other people as well. And so this is a new season, a new chapter, and I'm excited.
Speak to the person that's going through this right now, from everything to the point of they just ran their first marathon and now they're feeling this, where they've been spending like 7 months training for this marathon. They just ran the marathon. Now they're like, oh, okay, now what? Or somebody just sold their business for 10 million or 100 million, or people just sold their portfolio like you did for 7 or 8 figures. What are some best practices, if you can maybe narrow down 2 or 3 things that you did that really helped you get out of that funk and get you kicked into that next gear, get that next level of clarity for that next season? Any best practices or advice?
I think it's important to know about yourself, like what really makes you tick. And to me, what I've learned is it's not always about having my best PR time. It's not always about maximizing every cent or dollar out of every opportunity. I think to me, it's more so about getting the most out of myself in every opportunity. And therefore, I am consistently looking to put myself in environments and challenges and things that do that. And that's just something I've learned about myself, because I also know it's a dangerous thing for a lot of people, right? Where it actually is more destructive and harmful to them, their psyche, their families, their lifestyle, than it is for people that actually get the best out of themselves in those environments. And they find a way to create balance through that process. So for me, as I was going through this process myself, I had to remind myself that whether it was a big exit or it was a big win with a personal challenge, I started to think about the common denominators of what's going on in my life when things are going well. And I mentioned the word weaponized. I started to go down the list of when I think we can all know, whether it's flow state or I call it being weaponized, when you're in that very dangerous zone of you put something in front of me, I'm going to crush it. And
they call it the sprint.
When you're most optimized. Right? And so for me, I just learned a lot about myself of how do I put the bumpers of my metaphorical life, my bowling alley, how do I make sure that I'm bowling strikes and spares no matter what's going on in my life, whether I'm in a high point or a low point, whether I'm in a transition or I'm completely in an all-out sprint crushing it? Like, what are the things that I can learn about myself and be aware about of when I'm in that flow state, when I'm weaponized? And ultimately for me, that was learning all of those things and knowing that when I'm in a funk or when I'm not in my most optimized zone, I have something by default to fall back on that can get the pendulum swinging back in the right direction. And so that's really what I focused a lot on this last year, was optimizing and getting very clear in what that weaponized state was for me, and building inputs and opportunities to stay in that space and easily get back in that space when I know that I wasn't. And that was something that was a major game changer for me, is we all go through funks. We all have peaks and valleys on the journey to chasing whatever it is that we're all chasing. And I'm just a framework guy. Those are things that I'm not the fastest, smartest, or strongest. I just fall back on frameworks that I know apply best to me through test, tweak, and optimization and trial and error. And over time, when you're aware enough, that's what I think. I'm sure you've learned this interviewing so many of the successful people you interview. And I've had over almost 1,000 interviews on Millionaire Mindcast over 9 years. And what I've learned is most of these successful people, they're all humans just like we are, but they're just really intentional about creating awareness in their life and being able to do quick adjustments on the fly based on certain frameworks that tell them if they're winning or losing, whether that's in business, whether that's with their employees, whether that's with their health, whether that's with their marriage or their kids. And ultimately, I've just been somebody that's become obsessed with identifying key frameworks that work well in a simple capacity for myself.
Yeah, I love that. And for me, I'm in that season right now where I'm now starting to buckle down. And then you're talking about these different, okay, who is like Maddie when he's weaponized? Who is Maddie when he's not? What are the common denominators? Like, how's my health? How's my relationship with my wife? How's my relationship with my daughters? Like, what am I doing? When am I waking up? That type of stuff. And for me, it's right now, I need to sit down and buckle down in Austin, Texas for this next season to really, I call it earn the next season.
Yep.
So it's just you earn. I'm like, I love traveling, but now I've become so hedonically adapted to it that I'm just like, I was with Brandon Turner in Maui and I said, how do you do this? No offense. Like, I was with him at his house. His house is beautiful. I was just like, how do you live here? I was like, dude, I feel like a marshmallow over here. He's like, yeah, dude, it's the island life. He's like, but you just have to keep chugging. He's like, I love it. But yeah, for me, yeah, go on.
I think it depends on what season you're at in your life, though. Like, you're in build bachelor mode. You're in grind hustle. Like, you're building an empire. He's at a different season in his life where he's obviously built an empire. Yeah. And he's enjoying a lot of that as well. But he's also got young kids. He's got his wife, right? So I think for everybody, it's just important to be aware and clear about what season are you in? What chapter are you writing right now? I know I wrote down this list of when I'm operating at 90% or better, this is my weaponized formula and state. I'm eating healthy and clean and intermittent fasting. I'm getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. I'm working on projects that I'm extremely passionate and enthusiastic about, which also flows into other areas of my life. I'm working with world-class talent who I have fun with, who challenge me, who inspire me. I'm making money. I am dialed in with my morning and my evening routines. I am doing my wellness, sauna, cold plunge, and thermal cycles. I'm working out consistently and challenging myself physically. I am tapped in emotionally, spiritually, and physically with my wife. And I'm playing full out as a father and getting that quality time in creating memorable moments with my daughters each week. Usually when something is off and I'm in a funk, I can literally go back to this list and identify two or three things that I'm not doing so well on. And that's the beauty, is identifying the key frameworks and the key things that are going on in your own life of, man, life is amazing. Like, it's almost like a state of euphoria, right? When you feel that, stop, take notice. Like, actually take inventory of what's going on in your life. What are you doing? What's going on around you? What environments? What people are you plugged into? What are your routines? What do you put in your body? What do you put in your mind? And over time, you'll start to see some common denominators of, okay, these are the things that I can always fall back on, that I know when I'm in a funk, even though, like, it's easy to stay there longer than normal. If you're suffering in silence, this is one quote that I love, that I often live by, is especially when you think about the most successful people in life, they suffer probably more than anybody does on average on planet Earth, but they have found a way to suffer well and not suffer by themselves. And I have found that that really is an important thing, is most people, we suffer too long by ourselves. And then we get deeper into these funks and these ruts, and we ultimately waste a ton of time in those spaces where the people who are really successful, they just found a way to suffer well through the process and just not do it alone, which really shortens those gaps and kills those spaces and forces you to get out of them a lot quicker.
I love that. So you talk a lot about frameworks, and in this episode, the framework that we're going to be focusing on is your framework for how to build 8-figure plus wealth and $250,000 a year in cash flow through commercial real estate investing. So I think it would benefit us. I'll do a brief intro for you previous to this podcast, where I'll discuss like your upbringing, a little bit of like highlight clips from the previous show. But I think it'd be beneficial to discuss a little bit about your commercial real estate investing journey, your portfolio, and then share the wins and the exits as much as you feel comfortable sharing, so that people understand who they're speaking with and what we're talking about.
Yeah, my journey began very humbly working for somebody for a year for free back in 2010, when there were foreclosures everywhere out of the Sacramento area. I moved back from college and I had this expensive piece of paper that I was interviewing to make $30,000 a year. I was like, that ain't gonna cut it. And I ended up responding to a Craigslist ad working for this house flipper. And I'd learned the ropes and gotten bit by the bug of investing. I went in to start a real estate team and went the traditional route with sales and quickly learned that's not something I was passionate about, nor was it actually aligned with kind of what I call my North Star, my vision for my life and what I was working towards. And then it just became a math equation of, if I want to be here in this time frame, what are the assets? What are the opportunities? What are the businesses that I got to invest my time and energy and resources into in order to chip away at that vision? So that led me into flipping houses, flipped a couple hundred houses over the next decade. But at the same time, it was about 7 years into my journey that I realized commercial real estate investing was not only easier, but it was way more aligned with the timeline of getting to the financial goals that I was looking to achieve. I ended up buying my first commercial retail strip center on creative financing back in 2018. And then essentially year over year, I just kept buying one commercial asset that led me into hotels, that led me into medical office buildings. As I had mentioned a little bit earlier, I had exited all three of my hotels and took a big chunk of cash off the table, redeployed that. And again, this was all decisions that were made. I have this sticky note literally right here on my computer every day that says, does the decision you are about to make align with your values and your five-year vision? And so everything that I decide to do now that I give time, energy, and capital to better be aligned with my five-year vision. And I literally read my five-year vision every single day. It's on my desk. I read my goals every single day. And that helps me align with making the right investment decisions, ultimately, which is what got me on this path of buying commercial real estate assets. And I narrowed it down. I said, a decade ago, I wanted to make $500K a year in passive income from my real estate assets. That's not including the equity growth and appreciation. That's not including the cost segs and the tax mitigation and things like that. It was just an income goal. Because I do believe that while net worth is great and it creates options, it's probably more tied to ego for a lot of people. And the first focus and milestone is more around cash flow, which is the freedom. If you can unlock that cash flow that covers your lifestyle, your expenses, gives you the security and removes kind of the shackles that finances have around most people's mindset, then I can operate from a place of abundance and freedom and go make real significant impact, real significant income. So I said, I just need to buy one commercial real estate asset a year that nets me $50K a year for 10 years straight. And I'm in year 7 of that plan. Last year, I think I did a little over $312,000 in passive income just from the commercial assets. And if you look at my chart, my sheet, I should be at $302,000 by this year. And last year I was at 310. So I'm right on track with where I wanted to be with my goal. And it became something that just became very simple. I don't need to buy 50 flips a year. I just need to find one commercial real estate asset a year, which is actually a lot less labor, time, and management intensive. And that's become my focus, you know, unlocking more freedom and helping other people look that feel aligned with that goal to do the same thing.
Sweet. So the umbrella of commercial asset is pretty broad. So what is your buy box currently? And is it the same buy box that you're teaching? Or is there any parameters that you recommend people play in? Because commercial could be multifamily, it could be retail, it could be industrial.
Yeah, if you think about it, there is all kinds of different commercial estate asset classes and sub commercial asset classes. And so when you're determining and building your buy box criteria, it really just depends on, again, what's your five-year vision? What's the income goal that you have? And when do you want to be there by? And then you can reverse engineer. Hey, for me, it was $50,000 a year. Great. What assets make, in general, $50,000 a year net when all is said and done? And for me, I narrowed that down to retail strip centers, medical office buildings. And then those were more of my passive income plays. And when I say passive income is more wealth building, long-term, slower, and it really can be a little bit more passive. But when it comes to like wealth creation, you're really building a business. Like you're managing and operating assets and businesses sometimes. And that's ultimately where I said, I don't need to be passive. I want to be active. I want to be in the trenches. I want to roll up my sleeves. I want to continue to skill up. And I want to continue to build relationships with people with higher financial acumen, higher financial resources, bigger networks, bigger opportunities. And commercial checked all of those boxes. And so I focus on my three hotels that I built up, all value add assets that we essentially completely gutted the businesses, the brands, the hotels, and repositioned and restabilized all of those assets and sold them at peak value. And then a lot of the other assets that I still hold in my portfolio, my medical office buildings, retail strip centers, and I'm in other syndications and some other things. But again, those are more passive. The active assets that we manage are all in that retail, industrial, and medical office building space.
What is so interesting about this is because frameworks are so much fun for me because I'm able to create really fun frameworks because of talking to, and having really good friends like you and doing so many interviews and doing so many podcasts. That's why having a podcast is such a benefit, because you get so many different flavors of the same advice that you can start seeing repeatable patterns. And the framework that we are creating right now is the CVC framework, which is clarity, volume, and consistency. So are you clear about what you want? Are you clear about the correct and proper amount of volume it takes to actually yield the result? And then once you get those two figured out, then it's just a game of consistency. So like you're saying, over the decade. Yep. So what I really like is the three levels of clarity that you literally just demonstrated. So there's three levels of clarity that we talk about now, which is directional, sequential, and tactical. So directional, where are you going? This is your five-year vision that you're talking about. Sequential, how fast do you want to get there? You're like, all right, this is my five-year goal. This is my 10-year goal, which then yields the tactical. But everyone starts with the tactical and has no idea about the sequential or directional. So that's why I really like what you're saying, because it's validating this framework, because it's like, hey, where are we going? How fast do we want to get there? All right, now let's use that to determine, I need $50,000 a year in this passive income for this one asset. I want to buy one asset a year. What asset will yield that? That is the rest of my, towards my goal, towards my plan. Yep. And so you've picked industrial and medical offices and stuff. So let's walk through, so that's your framework, is buying just one per year, and that's what you teach with your new collective. Let's walk through a quick process, maybe 10, 15 minutes. If somebody's looking to buy their first commercial asset, they say, okay, Matt, that sounds awesome. Now I have some single family. I want to move into commercial. I don't quite have the balance sheet yet, but I'd like to start doing maybe my own medical center or my strip center. How do I do that? What are the tactics now that I know my directional, my sequential clarity? What are the tactics to pull this off?
Yeah, once you know what, and I love that you brought that up, because Jocko Willink talks a lot about that in extreme ownership of strategic is more of your long-term vision and focus, right? Tactical is more of your short-term sprints that are going to get you there. And so once I was clear on what my long-term vision and strategy was going to be, commercial real estate assets that net me 50K a year, then it became the tactical. How do I find these assets? What types of assets, what price points, what markets are ultimately going to have these types of opportunities? And so I was able to start narrowing down certain asset types, retail, industrial, and medical office buildings that kind of all fell within that criteria. It was going to the Crexies, the LoopNets, the CoStars, right? Tapping into other investment networking groups and identifying the brokers and the people who had these types of relationships. And then my background in single family direct marketing, we were doing 10, 20,000 mailers a month in certain months when that was really converting at a high level. So it was using some of those strategies to get direct to sellers with commercial assets that kind of met my buy box criteria and getting in front of them and negotiating, having conversations there. And again, the beauty is you only need to find one of these deals every single year. So it was starting to build relationships. And I look at everything with a crock pot versus a microwave mindset. Crock pot meaning it takes time for things to come together, and all of these ingredients over time are going to create a much better dish than the microwave, even though you can get it a lot quicker. And so it was, okay, crockpot mindset towards building a broker network of people that are active in the asset classes that I want and the markets that I like, and building relationships with them. And not a, hey, do you have a deal for me right now? It was, hey, whether it's a deal now or a deal 6 years down the road, I'm building relationships for the long term. And over time, you consistently follow up and nurture those relationships. And all of a sudden, you get one deal that gets plopped in your lap. That's how I started building those types of deals and lead pipelines for the commercial real estate assets. Now, the nice thing about the Wise Investor Collective is we've got a lot of other people doing the same activities. in the asset classes that they've identified they're interested in, the markets they've identified they're interested in. Now, all of a sudden, you have this mastermind and collaboration component where a bunch of people are out in the trenches doing all the heavy lifting, drumming up leads and opportunities. And again, if you're only looking for one, there's going to be a lot of cross-pollination with networking, with relationships, with capital, and most importantly, with deal flow. And so that's ultimately how we've been able to start spinning up and increasing our pipeline, is just through the power of networking community, which you've done 100 out of 100 in the level of leveraging the power of other people around you, getting in the right environments, getting in the right conversations. And therefore, these are the types of opportunities that have really started to create and come about more abundantly. And that's what we're really looking forward to in 2024, because I do believe commercial is the moment of the market in the next 12 to 36 months of there being some really life-changing buying opportunities for people. And it's going to be the people that are leaning in and doing these types of activities and plugging into these types of communities that are going to be the success stories and the case studies in 2, 3, 4, 5 years looking back that people are going to point to and say, man, they were so lucky, when really these were the people that were digging the well now before they wanted to scoop the water.
Yeah. And I think that's really important that you punctuate that, because I want to hit on that, because when it comes to these deals, it's different than the transactional nature of like single family. Like, you do a flip, you do a wholesale, you do whatever you want. Like, you can do the Pace Morby thing, like the sub two. But when it comes to the commercial assets, that's a multi-year relationship. Like, yep. that's not a hurry up and wait kind of thing. Like, that is something where it's a very crock pot strategy. And I use that all the time that you told me years ago. And so now we've been friends for years. That's insane to think about. But that's why it's so important right now, is because I agree, like in the next 12 to 24 months, like 2025, 2026, we're going to be seeing so much of this distress that's going to start hitting the market, and these waves are going to start coming through, especially yep. in office and retail, stuff like that. There's going to be so many buying opportunities that you can't just wait until 2025 and 2026, like, to say, okay, I'm going to start investing in commercial now. It's like, today is when you yeah. get those relationships with the brokers. Today is when you build the team. Today is when you start the lead gen. Today is when you get everything in place and your buy box set and your market set and your target set. For then, it's going to all of a sudden start coming in spades. And yeah. that's why I love what you're talking about, man. So what led you to the Wise Owl Collective? What came up with the name? Why are you doing a community? How was this the next thing that you wanted to do? Like, where did this come from?
The strategy behind it was, when I did my six-figure flipper community, when I was flipping a lot of houses and I did the course and the mastermind, one, it was a fun way to add value to an industry that I was really passionate about. And there was a level of accountability in terms of, I'm a big believer in not just being, we've got a lot of messengers out there that aren't actually living or doing their message. And so when I stopped flipping houses and really shifted heavily over to commercial, I stopped doing that mastermind. But what I had learned in that process was that mastermind brought me a ton of leads. That mastermind brought me a lot of coaching opportunities and consulting opportunities, a lot of partnership opportunities. It brought me a lot of funding opportunities. And so when I started to rethink that process after I exited the hotels, and I said, man, what's been missing the last few years? I had realized that I'd been so heads down on building my hotel brand and business, which didn't really need a personal brand, which didn't really need a mastermind or a community around it. I was lacking those things. And it reaffirmed to me how powerful community is. Just with the Action Academy, how transformative having so many amazing people who share in a common goal, or as we talked about earlier, a mission, right? When you get 1 + 1 into a room and it equals 2, there's not really anything too special about that. But when you get a bunch of people into a room and that 1 + 1 = 500 because of the resources and the relationships and the conversations and the real monetary opportunities and upside that comes out of it, that's extremely powerful. And I do believe now more than ever, people care about community. They care about the values of the community. They care about the people in the community. They care about the opportunities and the edge that they're going to gain by being a part of that community, right? The exclusivity. And so for me, it was going, I'm doubling down on community. And what is the community that I want to build around and in that I'm obsessed with? Again, is it aligned with my 5-year vision? It's got to be commercial real estate assets. And what I learned through this journey of investing in commercial real estate, it's really not any harder, if not actually much easier, with a much higher ROI on my time, my energy, and my resources when it comes to commercial real estate. Why we're doubling down on the Wise Investor Collective is not to create some massive business model out of it, if I'm being totally frank, which I know will be an ancillary byproduct of what we're going to do. But the first mastermind that I launched, it sold out. We had over 400 apps. We had 25 people that we had to handpick and sign up. And those 25 people are going to bring deals in. They're going to share and cross-pollinate on capital, on their network, in opportunities. And those are things that could completely not only transform that individual's life within the community, but it's also going to bring massive value to our company and our organization as well, to get involved with more great people and great markets and great opportunities, which is going to selfishly accelerate some of my investing goals. So I'm really excited about that being a core focus of what we're going to be doing, building community, creating epic experiences, because as hospitality is something that I'm very passionate about, love, and have some cool projects going on there. And that'll allow us to pair and allow those models to collide and create some real opportunity that I think will be beneficial and fun and fulfilling for everybody that's involved in it.
I love it, man. Tell us about your 5-year vision.
Yeah, my 5-year vision, I could read it to you if you want me to.
Well, guys, if you guys are okay with it, listening, yeah, 5-star rating and review for this, and you have to go to Millionaire Mindcast, leave a 5-star rating and review.
So this took me, I redo this 5-year vision every year, and I have my Rich Life Planner, which you can see over my shoulder, and one of the exercises in that planner to help you get your North Star clear is the Rich Life Clarity Contract, and it goes through all the gardens of your life and asks you a bunch of questions. Based on those answers, you can write out a real life, living, breathing vision statement. So I'll just read you mine. I just finished this late last year. And the date is February 1st, 2029. I'm 40 years young and I couldn't be happier with where I am in my life. I am a passionate, healthy, and vibrant person that brings value and positive energy everywhere I go. I work out daily, feel strong and agile, and am in the best physical shape of my life. Wellness remains a top focus of my daily routine, and my recovery, sleep, and blood panels are at optimal levels. I get outdoors often and actively enjoy hiking, snowboarding, biking, and relaxing in nature. I have a thriving real estate investment community podcast and personal brand that impacts millions of lives every year. I am regarded as a leader in the arenas of commercial real estate and hospitality, as my network has some of the most successful investors, influencers, and celebrities in these spaces. I am successfully running my real estate fund, have built my personal commercial portfolio to $100 million, and have over $1 million a year in horizontal income coming in from my various investments. I've grown the team to consist of talented A players and bought our dream office and warehouse for company headquarters. We have a collaborative work environment which reflects all our organizational values and are regarded as one of the top places to work at. Marie and I are enjoying our new house we purchased that is nestled away in nature with all the amenities we desire and a killer view to catch beautiful sunsets and sunrises. Marie has her dream library with a secret chamber and writing room. I have a dream man cave which is filled with TVs for sports, games for competition, a speakeasy stocked with unique spirits and world-class wine, and a full gym equipped with a sauna, cold plunge, and recovery room for continued wellness. The house has a massive laundry room, gourmet kitchen, and a mother-in-law quarters for family. Outside, we enjoy our organic garden, our resort-style pool, and the outdoor patio where we barbecue and entertain often. We have an awesome house manager who keeps our property organized and clean. We enjoy ourselves, and we also enjoy our chef-prepared meals of healthy, fresh foods that we get delivered weekly and made out of the garden. Marie and I continue to find new ways to grow through life together. We have a great rhythm in our weekly date nights, quarterly overnight trips for romantic getaways, and enjoy weekly long trips without the girls. Her book career has taken off. Not only is she a New York Times bestseller, she's one of the top thriller and horror writers in the game. She signed her first deal to make a show out of one of her books. Her personal brand and thrill seekers community continues to grow every year along with her confidence. I'm more engaged and supportive than I ever have been with Marie, and I helped her build a great team around her who is focused on supporting her career and business as a full-time author. As for my powerhouse ladies, so I go on to talk about my daughters, We have open and honest communication, laugh often and do fun activities and take quarterly one-on-one trips to stay connected. We always have each other's backs and I continue to hold the girls to high standards and upholding our family core values. I coach them on leadership, investing and chasing their dreams often, and I'm very present in their lives. They're healthy, fit, and we have built great relationships with other families and father daughters who share these same standards. They also help me in the business and also attend one conference a year with me. It's a great way that we learn and grow together. Last two paragraphs. As a family, we love going on trips and traveling to fun places all around the world that have great food, activities, culture, and history to enjoy. I also enjoy annual trips with both my mom and dad. Both of them are still my best friends and very present in my life. I'm a positive influence and encourager for both of them when it comes to their health and staying active. Collectively, we all enjoy going to our Lake Tahoe mountain home, where we get to enjoy all that Tahoe has to offer while sharing it with other families and friends as we enjoy hosting for all to have a good time. My relationships have leveled up, and I basically go on about talking about my mastermind, and then I finish it with, overall, my patience and plan for living below my means has paid off in a big way and allows me to live an abundant life of financial freedom while still comfortably taking care of my parents, my family, and my mother-in-law. I'm so grateful for my life, the people I'm surrounded by, and all the challenges and blessings in it. I remain humble, confident, and live with integrity and authenticity. Most importantly, I'm living a life with no regrets and will continue to do so going forward.
Boom. Man.
I read that just about every morning with my routine.
I love that, dude. If anybody was wondering how to write a vivid vision, like, that is literally step by step. And what I like is that the problem that I made with my first couple ones was, it's like you put so many numbers and so many tactics in it.
Yeah.
And what you realize is less is more. So you had your $100 million asset and you said assets, dream house, dream kitchen, because it changes.
Yeah,
right?
It does.
And the how and the tactics change to take you there. Like, most of the time, the way that you get there is definitely not the way that you planned.
Yeah. And I think just having clarity in what that is, it just makes it so much easier for me to say yes or no to things now. Whereas when I was in my 20s and I was trying a lot of different things and some worked and some failed. Now I'm much more strategic being in the stage and the season I'm at in my life now with what I'm saying yes to and what I'm saying no to, because I've continuously taken the time year over year to get more refined, more granular, and taking the feedback of life, the actions, the results, right? And ultimately what is playing out to determine what the next best decision is that's aligned with that vision. If I didn't have that vision, it'd be a lot easier for me to say yes to stuff that gets me excited. I get excited about a lot of shit. But again, because I've taken the time to get clear, it makes it that much easier for me to be more disciplined in my decision-making when it comes to what I'm going to give my time and energy to. Because at the end of the day, this is what is most important to me. I've written it down on a piece of paper. I've taken hours and weeks to get clear on what this is, and now years and years of refinement. And if I'm doing things with my actions that don't align with what I'm telling myself and my family is most important to me, when I'm incongruent with those things, I'm incongruent and I feel a rub and friction, not only within myself, but I also find ways to creating friction and roadblocks in my physical world as a result of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Man, that's freaking awesome. I don't see, and we need to end it right there. That's the perfect way to end it. Where can people find out more about you, and where can people find out more about Wise Owl Collective?
They can go over to wiseinvestorcollective.com or my1st50k.com. Those both go and share more about the commercial real estate investment community, the mastermind, all that good stuff. Of course, Millionaire Mindcast, 3 episodes a week, going on year 9, which is insane. And then they can always reach out to me on my socials at Official Mattier. Always love connecting with anybody from the Action Academy and anybody from Brian's world.
Dude, I love it, man. Blessed to be your buddy. Love you like a brother, man. You've helped me in so many different ways, and it's just always awesome to see the guys. Now I'm best friends with Amucha Stiggy over here. We're hanging out just about every week, and it's cool to be in your guys' world. And I try to bring some energy to you as well, and then we all win together.
Always.
And it's just cool to see somebody that's a couple steps ahead, because you have your vision, and then you see somebody else, you're like, yeah, like, we're running towards the same direction. Let's do this. Let's run together. So I love it, brother. Thanks for being you, man.
Thanks for having me on.
And with that, it's been Brian and Maddie with the Action Academy podcast, signing off. Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it, so I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are 2 main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to 1 or 2 friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.